Ready, set, go!
Welcome into Checkpoint Esports and Gaming Radio. A complete look at all things esports and gaming. A production of Westwood One. Here are your hosts, Nate Bender, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan.
Checkpoint reached.
Hey, welcome to Checkpoint Daily for Friday, November 2nd, 2018. I want to thank everyone listening on ESPN Radio, 1300 AM in New Haven, Connecticut, as well as Fox Sports, 910 AM in Richmond, Virginia. Coming up today on Checkpoint Daily, we'll take a look back to the Esports Business Summit in Las Vegas to a conversation we had with Rishi Chadha of Twitter about their moves into the esports space. Plus, we'll check in with Robbie and Norris to get the latest from the floor of BlizzCon. Those conversations are ahead today here on Checkpoint Daily. But we start today with a much more casual atmosphere, as Joe and I are the only ones here. So joining me to help round out this episode is Joe Sloan.
You know something? This room is very spacious when there's only two of us in here.
I know, right?
We got to do this when the OWL Grand Finals were happening, and those idiots got sent out to New York for that.
Right.
We got to kind of, you know, carry the load back here. It's very, it's not uncomfortable in here.
No, not at all.
There's a lot less ego in here.
That too, yeah. Yeah. So, guy, you don't have to deal with so much, you know, someone cutting you off or crowding your point. You know, we get to actually like have a little bit of breathing room.
By the way, I see something truly awful in our Twitch chat over at twitch.tv/checkpointxp.
Oh yeah, that's your Bubsy emote.
That
it's
looks
hideous.
Like, that looks like a Cheeto with a nose. And not good because that's my face.
At first, I was trying to figure out what it is, and I thought like maybe it's like a bloody booger because
yeah.
Like that, I kind of had a bloody booger once that looked like that.
Ew.
But I know it was kind of gross. I'm not actually kind of gross isn't right. It was really gross. But the thing is like that. Like I don't if there was anyone who didn't have context for that, like I don't know if they would be able to figure out what that is.
So look, like Carlotta dropping in the chat the Bubsy Joe emote next to my face emote.
Yeah,
you would never guess that it is the same person.
No, you wouldn't. I mean, it helps to have the giant babushka with ears on your head.
You know, Robbie and I were shopping for that, and we looked at it like this is the worst thing I've ever seen in my
terrible.
Life.
Terrible.
I felt like Rodney Dangerfield in Caddyshack. Oh, this is the worst looking hat I've ever seen.
So what did you do with it afterwards?
I told Robbie I was going to throw it out, and he said, no, I want to keep it.
Oh, so he
has
it.
Okay. I have the shirt, but everything else was starting to shed a lot, so...
Yeah, I know. I found remnants of it all over my apartment.
I don't feel bad for you. You were a part of this, you monster.
Yeah, no, I mean, if you mean just by, like, passively, you know, pointing and laughing, yeah, sure.
Yeah, well, I mean, when we were setting up the idea more.
Right. So, we're headed into the weekend. This is now our second week of Checkpoint Daily shows. We're starting to get a pretty good feel for this, but having half our cast gone, kind of hard to construct a full-on show.
It is, but it's also important that we can do that sort of thing because, well, to be frank, there's going to be people traveling from time to time. I'm not going to be here next Friday.
I mean, I would love to be able to take vacation days.
Well, that would be nice.
You know,
none of us have done that in... Yeah. Wow, when's the last time one of us took a vacation day? It was like when Norris, like a year and a half ago when he was in Europe.
Yeah, something like that. He's the only one of us.
Cause
he's the only one. Yeah,
because
he's the only one who's ever had PTR.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, what's a vacation day like?
I don't know. I want to find out, though.
we hope to find out near future.
Yeah. So anyway, going into this weekend, you know, obviously there's going to be a lot to watch between BlizzCon. There's going to be a lot to play. What are you looking to do this weekend, Joe?
Dude, I don't know where I'm going to find any time this weekend. So
really?
Let's break this down, right? We've got esports going on this weekend. All over the place. You've got a PUBG tournament. You've got the World Finals for League of Legends. You've got five different tournaments happening at BlizzCon. That's one thing.
Busy esports weekend.
Right.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Diablo 3 is now out on the Switch. We've got Red Dead Redemption 2 still to play. Mega Man 11, I hear, is actually great. So I got a bunch of games I need to play. And it's Yomacon weekend.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So Detroit's biggest anime convention is also going on this weekend.
You know what I was seeing, actually, because I'm a part of the Yomacon Facebook Twitter. Apparently, there were some people that were saying that it was alarmingly low attendance.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, take that with a grain of salt because it's Friday and that's usually when everyone's picking up their badge.
Well, everyone gets in on Friday usually. Yeah. The badge reg line on Fridays.
Oh, my God.
It's insane.
I know. It's as bad as any convention I've ever been to.
E3 was way faster than that is. But E3 has a lot more people, I suppose.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. I can't wait to see. I can't imagine this year of all years is just suddenly when Yoma's attendance starts plummeting.
I just feel like we may be at peak convention, right? Like, we may have hit convention critical mass.
Well, and that is the thing, is Yoma is one of those conventions that is quickly kind of becoming a victim of its own success.
Yeah.
It's had to move out of its old venue from the Hilton over in Dearborn, Michigan.
Now, I think that was arguably a better venue for it, though. I mean, it was smaller. It was smaller, but I liked it more.
It was a better venue, except for the number of people who wanted to attend. Like, the only way you could have continued to do it at that venue is if you just, like I said, flat out, this is the number of tickets that there are to get in, and that's it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. How about you? What are you looking forward to this weekend?
I'm actually looking forward to digging into some Diablo 3 on my Switch.
So you didn't play Diablo 3 originally.
I played a little bit of it. Like, I played, I want to say, maybe like 3 or 4 hours of it. It stressed out my computer a lot, so I didn't get to play.
That game was not well optimized.
No, it wasn't.
Days, yeah.
And because of that, no, I didn't get to play as much as I wanted to. And it also had that really bad, like, real currency market thing.
I'd almost forgotten about that. It's the worst, dude. Or it was. It took it out finally.
Yeah. So, I mean, now that those are gone, I'm definitely going to be curious to see what the game is like. I've heard that it's really, like, good.
Yeah, ever since Reaper of Souls dropped, everyone's been pretty happy with it. Basically, they said, you know what? We screwed up with the whole real money thing. We took that out. Here's Necromancer. Here's the next set of the story. And everyone's pretty happy with it after that.
Like, I've got to say, I was a pretty big fan of Diablo 2.
Oh, yeah.
And because I played the shit out of Diablo 2 along with Ultima Online.
Diablo 2 goes in my top 5 games all time.
Yeah. Oh, totally. Easily. But, I mean, I didn't play it as much as some people.
Sure.
Like, I had a friend, Scott Gebauer, that was really into it. And, I mean, he chugged a ton of hours into it. So I'm looking forward to seeing if I can, you know, kind of like pick it back up and figure out what I really enjoyed about Diablo.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm really looking forward to that, and just having an excuse to play more of my Switch. You know?
Yeah. I'll say this. I feel like I picked a really bad time to pick up the Switch because I'm glad I got Octopath and all that stuff, but I still haven't had a chance to play Breath of the Wild. I still haven't even touched Super Mario Party because at the same time I picked that up, I got Spider-Man on PS4, and then I got Red Dead on PS4.
Yeah,
and
that's a lot.
It's eaten all my time. That's all I've had to
play.
Totally.
You're listening to Checkpoint Daily Esports and Gaming Radio. I want to thank everyone listening on the Hawk 1340 in Wenatchee, Washington, as well as the Fan 97.1 in Columbus, Ohio. We're currently kind of looking ahead towards the weekend. You know what else is going down this weekend? It's the last 2 beta days for Fallout 76.
Dude, where are we going to find time?
I know.
Like, I'm really excited for Fallout 76. The more I see of the game, the more I want to play of it. That said, the bug that was discovered in it that accidentally deletes the entire game.
All 50 gigs? That's hilarious.
That is
only Bethesda.
Yes, that is quintessential Bethesda. Did you hear that Deltarune also had a bug in it?
No.
Deltarune had a bug in the installer where the installer only uninstalled the uninstall files instead of the game itself. There wasn't a good way to uninstall it. Toby tweets out, sorry about that. I'll fix it probably.
So you got a chance to actually finish Deltarune?
I did get a chance to finish.
So
Deltarune.
What did you think of the actual ending?
Well, so now that we've also had a day to pass and had Toby kind of talk about what's going on with Deltarune, the idea that it's not a sequel or a prequel, it's something completely separate of the original Undertale, of your original playthrough of the game. It's fascinating, and I can definitely see, like for me, I called it a prequel when we talked about it last.
Right.
It was a prequel because that's what fit best, I guess I would say. There were still things that didn't quite make sense. For him to say, no, this is something completely separate of the Undertale you know, that makes a lot more sense. I'm kind of bummed out to find out that we're not going to be seeing more of it for a long time.
Yeah, so. it sounds like when we do see more of it that we're going to get the whole thing.
Yeah, he's not going to release any more of it in chapters. It's going to all come out at the same time, and there won't be any pre-order for it.
So what do you think took him, because it said, you know, I had seen some of the tweets that he had put out. He said that, you know, when he worked on the original Undertale, it took him, you know, like 6 months,
yeah,
8 months,
6 months,
like worth of crunch time.
Yeah.
But working on Deltarune, he had been working on that for 2 years.
For years. And he said a lot of the more difficult things were the graphics are upgraded and not as easy to work with. Having multiple people in your party makes the AI a lot harder to work with. The whole thing is a lot harder to do. And that's why he said he's not doing this one solo. He can't. The game will never be finished if he does it alone. And he's decided he's actually putting together a team who are going to help him develop the game. And it's the first time he's ever run a team. He's rather nervous about that fact.
That'll be interesting to see what he is able to kind of come up with.
Well, and you know this from being a podcast host as long as you've been. It's hard to give up some autonomy.
It is. It is.
When you're used to doing everything your way, going to making a team is a lot harder.
Well, going to, you know, maybe like a corporate setting, you know, is you give up a lot of autonomy there, mm-hmm. too. But listen, we want to hear from you. What are you going to be playing this weekend? Connect with us on social media. That's CheckPT Radio on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Still ahead on Checkpoint, we'll revisit a conversation with Rishi Chadha from Twitter about the social media giant stepping into the esports space. Plus, we'll get an update from Robbie and Norris, who are out on the floor of BlizzCon. Those conversations are ahead here today on Checkpoint Daily. But ahead next, we'll check in with Joe over at the Checkpoint News Desk.
Pittsburgh Steelers wideout Juju Smith-Schuster is now an esports ambassador for another major brand. We'll tell you about it.
Esports news is next here on Checkpoint.
This is Checkpoint, esports and gaming radio. This is Checkpoint, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointRadio.com.
Hey, welcome back to Checkpoint, esports and gaming radio. I want to thank everyone listening on KNPR 1050 in San Francisco and the Big 920 in Milwaukee. Still ahead on Checkpoint Daily, we'll sit down with Rishi Chadha from Twitter about their entry into esports. Plus, we'll check in with Robbie and Norris on the floor of BlizzCon. Those discussions are ahead today here on Checkpoint. But first, let's check in with Joe over at the Checkpoint News Desk and get a gaming news update.
Gaming news update with Joe Sloan.
Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt this program to bring you important news.
CheckpointRadio.com.
HyperICE, a sports fitness technology company, has named Pittsburgh Steelers wide receiver Juju Smith-Schuster as their esports ambassador. HyperICE is diving deeper into the competitive esports world, hoping to facilitate player wellness and recovery through their products.
That's really interesting. Speaking of Juju Smith-Schuster, there's some great commercial that he's a part of right now, or some spot
really?
That I saw. They have him animated like a Saiyan, like he's from Dragon Ball Z. It's great, man. I don't know what it was. Like, I only caught a little bit of
yeah.
it, but I was like, oh my god, that was Juju Smith-Schuster.
Isn't it fun how like Dragon Ball Z has become like such a mascot almost,
yeah,
of like gamer culture?
It's a point of reference.
Right. Everyone yeah. from the 90s at least knows what it is.
Right, exactly, yeah.
EA Sports has announced in-game jerseys for esports organizations that compete in FIFA 19. All FIFA Ultimate Team players received a pack containing all 13 jerseys at the beginning of the month. The teams to get them include Vitality, Liquid, Envy, SK, and Rogue, among others. I think this is kind of a cool idea of doing in-game jerseys for your esports organizations that play your game.
Oh, yeah, totally.
I mean, obviously something that Blizzard's been doing with Overwatch for a while, but it
right.
makes a lot of sense in, like, the FIFA space. I wish Norris was here to talk
right.
about
yeah.
it.
Right, yeah, no, it's just not something that's come to sort of, like, the traditional esports, or, you know, traditional sports esports crossover world, right?
Here's what shocks me, is that FIFA Ultimate Team players just got them for free. That pack didn't cost you anything? That's surprising and
yeah.
very not EA-like.
Right, I think they're probably... probably just testing the waters, seeing what interest, you know,
That's
is out
fair.
There. So
the much anticipated Clash mode for League of Legends has had yet another test delayed, this time in Europe. Originally set to launch at the beginning of 2018, multiple game-breaking bugs forced it back into development. The game mode was set to test in Europe but had to be delayed yet again. Luckily, this time it was due to a network issue and not the game mode itself. Riot remains hopeful to drop the new game mode in early 2019. I'm really excited for Clash mode. So, for those who don't know, what Clash is this is kind of like run your own esports team sort of thing. You make a team of, you can either use op.gg to find other players who are interested in playing with you, or it can just be your group of friends. You make a logo, you make a team name, and you compete in matches. You can either buy your way in with essence that you earn in game or with Riot points, and you can win like really cool prizes, exclusive skins, and all kinds of sweet
stuff.
That's
actually really cool. And like, I'm assuming all of the matches are played online and stuff.
Yeah, it's all played.
Very cool.
It's super cool. Like, it's a great concept, and it lets people like kind of get a taste of what esports is without having to be, you know, top 1% of the game or better.
And this is officially run through Riot too, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, Riot runs most of their own esports stuff, but yeah, this Clash mode will be run just through the Riot or through the League of Legends browser.
Yeah, but I mean, like, this is in other scenes. This is usually an area where a third party comes in.
Yes, that's true.
And does a lot of this work. But it's nice to see Riot getting involved. I mean, they stand to gain more by getting involved.
Well,
but
and by getting people in a game where you know you're kind of on the back end of your life cycle, probably.
Sure.
Barring some weird unforeseen circumstance, you're on the back end of your life cycle. To find a way to get people to reinvest and trying to play this game at its most competitive level, it's a really good idea. I so wanted to play it when it was due to release early this year, but the bugs, like, there was like assigning wins to the wrong team. Like, it was
That's pretty serious. Yeah, that's not good.
This weekend, we'll see Serral try to make history at the WCS Finals at BlizzCon. He's had a dominant year in the WCS, standing head and shoulders above the competition, and now many are picking him to become the first non-Korean world champion. He'll have a tough road ahead, as last year's champion Rogue and other powerhouses like Maru, SOS, and Stats stand in his way. A shout-out to Special as well, who will be representing Mexico in the Final Eight. This is fascinating. So, Serral is a guy who I don't like very much because he knocked Haas out of the last tournament that I watched him in, so I'm a little upset at him. But he's an incredibly good Zerg player. I've never seen a non-Korean player play this dominantly, and I'm really curious to see how he does this weekend.
So, where is he from? I mean, obviously not from Korea.
No, he is, I want to say, Finland.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He's amazing. Like, his Zerg play is on point. He does a lot of, like, he's willing to go off meta, but his macro play is just really strong. He might be good enough to actually compete. I don't think anyone has ever even made it to the finals who wasn't a Korean at WCS.
Interesting.
It turned out to be a good quarter for Ubisoft. Their quarter 2 2018 came back above estimation, earning $415 million. That does not include the new Assassin's Creed Odyssey, which released shortly after the quarter ended. In fact, the only new game released in the quarter was Transference, which means the developer's back catalog carried a very strong quarter.
That's surprising. Like, I mean, because there's not... Is that just like roll off Far Cry 5 sales, or?
I mean, first of all, it has to be partially Far Cry 5.
I would have to imagine.
It has to be something. I don't know. Like, Transference, that was not carrying $415 million.
No way.
To find out that they did that much money on their back catalog, first of all, that speaks very well to where Ubisoft is going in the future, because, I mean, this quarter, they're going to have Odyssey, which did very well.
Yeah.
They're going to have another good quarter. I mean, props to Ubisoft.
Yeah.
Red Dead Redemption 2 is by all accounts a great game, but as with most open world games, it has a few glitches.
A few?
Yeah, a few. One in particular caught our attention, and that is the alleged road to hell. Near the Rhodes Road, yes, that's what it's called.
Rhodes Road.
Rhodes Road.
Rhodes Road.
People's horses are suddenly and inexplicably catching on fire. Whether it be player-controlled or AI, no one is spared the fiery fate.
Now, okay, Norris and I were actually talking about this before he took off for BlizzCon.
Right.
And, you know, like, Rockstar is infamous for putting in weird, enigmatic puzzles
GTA
into their games.
5.
Yes, the Mount Chiliad mystery,
yeah.
Right? And so, might this be something that is along those same lines?
I would like for it to be, when you watch the video of people like walking forward and then they just suddenly start yelling and then like a minute, like 20 seconds later, their horse catches on fire and falls over dead. You're like, that definitely looks just like a glitch, but you're right. I can't put that past Rockstar for them to say, no, we've just opened the gates of hell
exactly
underneath here. And if you do X, Y, and Z criterion, you can go journey with Dante into the underworld.
Boy, that would change the tone of that game quite considerably.
Yeah, it would. That'd be a very weird twist, but at the same time, I'd respect it. And when you make $725 million on your game, you can do stuff like that.
That's true.
Might be an end of an era for game development. Junichi Masuda has said that it's important for the next generation of developers at Game Freak to take over the Pokemon franchise. It looks like Pokemon Let's Go will be his last title in the developer's chair for the series.
I love the Pokemon franchise. I really do. I enjoy those games. I don't know that this is necessarily a huge loss to the franchise. I think that it's in pretty good hands.
I think it is. You're right. Huge loss might not be the words, but it definitely heralds a change in the franchise. Like, it's the end of an era.
Yep.
That's all for the Checkpoint Gaming News Update. For more, head on over to our website, checkpointradio.com.
Thanks, Joe, for the update. We were lucky enough to be on site for the opening of the Esports Arena at the Luxor Casino last spring. But news today broke that the Esports Arena has engineered a new partnership with Walmart to open 5 new locations inside Walmart stores.
Walmart.
That is very... very curious.
So we've seen some interesting partnerships over the years. We've seen Square Enix and Mrs. Freshley's.
Yes.
That was a partnership that didn't make a lot of sense.
No.
We've seen Ninja and Astral Works. That was one I at least understand, even if it is kind of a
makes
strange
a little bit more sense, at least. Yeah.
Walmart and Esports Arena. Now, I love Esports Arena. We were lucky enough to get, as you said, get to see their grand opening at the Luxor in Las Vegas.
Absolutely. We're actually going to be partying there a little bit later on this month.
I'm so excited for that party.
I know. It's going to be awesome.
I've never gone into Walmart to buy a computer, a peripheral, a video game, or to watch esports.
Now, okay. I have to say, I will admit, I have gone to Walmart to buy video game related stuff before, but I did go to college for several years in a town
that only had a Walmart
about,
and a Costco.
Yeah, about the size of a pinhead.
Yeah, you had a Costco, a Walmart, a White Castle. No, you didn't have a White Castle.
Didn't have a White Castle. Had a McDonald's.
You did have a Mickey D's. That town was and you had a casino.
Yeah, we did. We had a casino. Yes, yeah. You would think that some of the money would spread outwards, but
so
no.
What you're suggesting is you didn't go to Walmart out of choice. You went there because you wanted a video game, and that was your option.
Out of necessity, because I didn't feel like driving 20 minutes to go find the nearest Best Buy.
So in addition to 5 new arenas opening up inside of Walmart locations, Walmart is going to begin selling Esports Arena's new overpowered line of PCs.
Well, that's interesting.
Now, having gotten to play on the PCs that are featured in the Esports Arena, yeah, they're pretty sweet.
Yeah, they're great PCs.
I would not mind owning one.
No, not at all.
I don't know that I want to go to Walmart to buy one.
Yeah, no, I don't think I...
We know the first 3 locations are going to be in Roseville, California, Spokane Valley, Washington, and Colorado Springs, Colorado.
Hey, where we have an affiliate.
Checkpoint affiliate.
That's
Colorado
right.
Colorado Springs. So, I mean... Would an esports arena being in a Walmart entice you to go into a Walmart?
Actually, maybe.
I think so, right?
I kind of might, depending on what they're doing there.
I'm not sure to buy stuff from Walmart, maybe just to see esports, though.
Yeah, that's a good point. Well, listen, we want to hear from you. Do you think that this is a good partnership? Could you see yourself going to Walmart to watch some esports? Connect with us on social media. That's CheckPT Radio on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Still ahead on Checkpoint, we'll check in with Robbie and Norris on the floor of BlizzCon. That conversation is ahead in about 15 minutes on Checkpoint Daily. But ahead next, when we went out to the Esports Business Summit in Las Vegas, we got the opportunity to sit down with Rishi Chadha. He's the head of Twitter Gaming Partnership. Stick around. That discussion is ahead next here on Checkpoint Radio from Beasley Esports XP and Westwood One.
This is Checkpoint Radio. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at checkpointradio.com. This is Checkpoint, Esports and Gaming Radio, CheckpointRadio.com.
back to Checkpoint, Esports and Gaming Radio. Want to thank everyone listening on Affiliate Station 101 Sports in St. Louis and WOKR 1310 in Rochester, New York. Make sure you visit our website over at checkpointradio.com for full episodes on demand, both of our weekly national show and the brand new Checkpoint Daily podcast, like the Checkpoint Radio podcast, as well as our Overwatch podcast, Low Team Damage, and an archive of interviews like Uber and Puckett casters for the Overwatch League, esports lawyer Ryan Fairchild, and possibly one of our finest interviews to date, an epic 20-minute conversation with Arnie Roth, conductor for Distant Worlds. Find all of those at our website at checkpointradio.com. Back at the beginning of October, we were lucky enough to attend the Esports Business Summit at the Caesars Palace in Las Vegas. While we were there, we got to sit down with Rishi Chadha. He's the head of gaming partnership from Twitter. Rishi, thanks for joining us here on Checkpoint.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me today.
We're certainly excited to talk with you, I think because all of us are still not verified on Twitter. So maybe by the end of this, we can all get the blue check marks, right? Right?
No, I'm just kidding. Promises, no promises.
So, as the head of Twitter's gaming partnership, what does a typical day look like for you?
Well, it always starts by opening up Twitter and seeing what's going on in the world. But aside from that, it's really working with all of our key content partners on the platform in the gaming space, and focusing on three really main key areas: revenue, reach, and innovation. So, how are we building cool things that our partners can use to reach a wider audience or engage with their existing audience? And then also, how can they work on ways to monetize their content on the platform?
Well, you know, and one of the things about Twitter is that gaming content has always been pretty ubiquitous through the platform. And something that, you know, I think gamers have really latched onto. So it's really nice to see you guys embracing the gaming community and showing some love back to them.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, one thing I always like to say is really no matter what game it is, no matter where that game is being broadcast or how it's being shared, people are coming to Twitter to talk about it. So, you know, really that gaming audience is living on the platform and using it as a really engaged and a meaningful way to have a conversation.
So esports is really just expanding in a way that, there's not a lot of comparison to the way esports is expanding. Where do you see Twitter falling into that equation?
That's a good question. I think it's really a place for helping drive that highly engaged conversation and a way for us to share content in a meaningful way, because, you know, we're not a... When you think about Twitter, we're a content platform, and content for us is everything from short-form clips to live video to tweets to video or to clips or pictures and to even our, you know, things like moments. So we're going to be there to really help drive that meaningful conversation that's an engaged experience, because I think you are sitting on other platforms maybe having a lean-back experience where you're passive and just watching, and you have Twitter open as a second screen experience to keep talking about what's going on, how the best plays are happening, and sharing those with your fans and your audience. It's very much a look at this and sharing that experience together with everyone on the platform.
So you guys have partnered with MLB and the NFL in the past. How have those worked out? Have those worked out very well for you guys?
Yeah. My sports counterparts have done a fantastic job with those partnerships, and they've been going really well. And, we brought that over to the gaming and esports space as well, too.
So when it comes to esports, or even really like gaming for, you know, the casual Twitter user, you know, what kind of advantages does Twitter as a platform bring to the table?
So I think one of them is really driving that meaningful and engaged conversation, and then I think also the ability to share content and clips in a very easy short form way, doing it on mobile, doing it on desktop. I think that's really the best use case for it, is being that place for having that conversation and providing a way to share clips and highlights in real time.
Well, I kind of want to highlight that for a moment. We saw Twitter partner up with Thursday Night Football at one point. Do you think esports might be able to take advantage of Twitter better than traditional sports can?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think there's a lot that can be learned from traditional sports about how the esports space is already using the platform, and vice versa. There's a lot of really cool tools and features that we've launched on the traditional sports side, whether it's conversational cards or things like DM experiences, that we're bringing over to the gaming and esports space to help out, to apply those tools and features to drive conversation and build the audience.
So back in August, Twitter had partnered for the Overwatch League. For the All-Star Weekend, what was the reception of that? How did that go for you guys?
Oh, it's been pretty much unanimously positive. I think it was one of the really, really excited to be working with Activision Blizzard and the Overwatch League on the program. We're going to be going into Season 2 together, so really excited about it. And I think it's been a great way to really go back to that point of short-form clips really live on the platform. It's a great place where people are pretty much exclusively having that conversation around the league as well as around Overwatch as a game.
I want to hang on the idea of exclusives for a moment, because we've seen a lot of partnerships and deals get brokered where a tournament or even a celebrity signs an exclusive deal to a specific platform. How critical are those types of deals to what you guys do at Twitter Gaming?
You know, it's not critical at all. I've worked in the space for over 10 years now, and I think exclusivity is an interesting thing where sometimes it's necessary for a platform to grow, but really, like I mentioned earlier, everybody's really gravitated towards our platform to have that conversation, be leaned in, and be most engaged on our platform. So exclusivity hasn't been something that's required. We continue to work with everyone and look for content that's going to continue to complement that conversation and are not necessarily thinking about exclusivity as a main point for us in terms of getting content.
Do you think that the industry is going to continue in that direction? Because, I mean, it's been very aggressive in terms of, even smaller tournaments that have come under exclusive deals.
I think it's really nice to see investments from platforms, because rising tide raises all ships. But I also do believe that we need to be mindful of where the audience wants to be and thinking about how content lives on each platform and making content for each platform. So I don't think that we should be thinking about things in the exclusivity mindset, but more so of how can we make the best content for this platform, for the audience that lives on this platform, and that way we can drive an audience to come over and continue to grow that audience.
I'd like to pull you back to what you said a moment ago about short-form clips on Twitter, because as I think about it, maybe more than any traditional sport has ever been, esports is an experience of moments.
Yeah.
It is. No one remembers an entire match of Overwatch, but everyone remembers a moment from the match of Overwatch. Twitter seems like it's uniquely positioned to take advantage of that fact.
Absolutely, yeah. That's exactly how we structured our deal with the Overwatch League, is to get near real-time highlight clips from all the matches that are happening, whether it's through All-Star Games or the playoffs or the finals.
Well, that's fantastic. Any plans for the future that you can share with us today?
Ooh, we've got a lot more in store. I think coming up for this next quarter, we've got Intel Extreme Masters, where we're going to have live as well as highlight clips. We've got the Game Awards coming around the corner, too. And then we've also got several other partnerships we're going to be announcing towards the end of this year and early into next year.
Excellent. Rishi Chadha, head of Twitter Gaming Partnership, has been our guest here on Checkpoint. Thank you so much for your time.
Thanks, Jets. Have a great day.
Thanks again to Rishi. And I thought that was such an interesting point that he made about how exclusivity isn't as big of a thing as some companies are putting an emphasis on.
Yeah, because in so many ways, it seems like all evidence to the contrary, as we see more and more events being locked up into these exclusive deals.
Yeah, very much so. Well, listen, we want to hear from you. Connect with us on social media. That's CheckPT Radio on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Coming up next on Checkpoint Daily, Robbie and Norris are standing by to give us the latest details and announcements from BlizzCon 2018.
How did they get to go out for that?
I don't know, but we're stuck here in the studio. Stick around. That's ahead next here on Checkpoint Daily from Beasley Esports XP and Westwood One.
Checkpoint Esports and Gaming Radio. This is Checkpoint, Esports and Gaming Radio. CheckpointRadio.com.
Hey, welcome back to Checkpoint, Esports and Gaming Radio. Want to thank everyone listening on the Sports Hub of Boston, as well as the Team 980 in Washington, D.C. Make sure you're following us on Twitch. That's twitch.tv/CheckpointXP. Throughout the weekend, you can also tune in for Checkpoint Radio shows on our Twitch channel. When you do, you can subscribe to our channel using your Amazon Prime membership at no additional charge. When you subscribe to Checkpoint Radio on Twitch, you get extra benefits. It's free when you use your Amazon Prime membership. Just go to twitch.tv slash Checkpoint XP and join us during the week for more insight on esports and to be a part of the show. This weekend, all eyes will be on Anaheim as Blizzard hosts its annual BlizzCon, filled with tons of announcements as well as esports competitions, including the Overwatch World Cup. And this year, we have not one but two representatives of Checkpoint XP on the scene, Robbie and Norris. Join us now from the floor of BlizzCon. Guys, how's it going?
What up, though?
What up, though?
Well,
it's something else out here, man. I didn't really know what to expect. I mean, you know, even though we've been to places like E3 and whatnot, Blizzard puts on a whole another type of show.
So, yeah, I think that's a really good place to start.
Set the scene.
Yeah, just go ahead and compare BlizzCon to something like E3.
So check this out. I mean, when it comes to E3, you get a very small sort of selection of a little bit of everything, right? It's more of a buffet.
And all the different companies are trying to do their own thing, right?
Exactly. With Blizzard, instead of a buffet, you get like this really, really dope multi-course meal of Blizzard products, mm-hmm. where, you know, you go in and you see the master stage where they make all the announcements, and then you walk past all the Heroes of the Storm stuff, and then you keep going because you don't want to look at that stuff. And then you look at all the, and then you see, you know, the StarCraft stage and where they're doing those competitions and the Hearthstone stuff and all the ancillary content for that. It's a really amazing space.
If you remember how Nintendo and Sony had like their own sort of little half of an area that they got to like curate themselves.
Yeah.
Imagine if they got to do the entire thing all themselves. That's what Blizzard's done here. And the great thing that they did this year for the opening ceremony, because the way that each of these halls are lined up, you can just walk from like straight down and be looking at all of them as you're going like from one to the next. And the opening ceremonies were actually shown across all the different stages. No matter where you were tuned in to what was going on at the start of the day.
Except for the Hearthstone stage, which didn't have a working microphone. Ha ha, Hearthstone, you stink. Anyway, no, I'm just kidding. I'm just joking.
So I gotta ask, as compared to like E3, where there's, you know, there's people from every kind of industry there, everyone's kind of hawking their merchandise and everything. Like, BlizzCon seems like it's just gotta be a bunch of fans of Blizzard. What's the crowd like? What's that audience like?
I mean, the crowd is dope. I mean, don't get me wrong.
Them cosplayers, man.
I was just about to say that. Like, literally, like, you think the cosplay at E3 was something serious? Nah, bruh. This is much more serious business when it comes to the cosplayers. They're out here in force. But in terms of, you know, the different types of industry, there's still a lot of industry people here. I mean, we've been talking to a few folks that are, you know, behind the scenes from, you know, Overwatch or
But they're all here as, like, fans as well. But, like, they're not here trying to hawk their merchandise and stuff. Like, it's all Blizzard stuff that's here. It's actually really cool. You may have seen the headline about like the 6-foot D.Va statue. Mm-hmm. They actually have the D.Va Lego statue. They actually have like a little area where they have all the different Lego sets that are going to be coming out set up. And they have a photo op on the side where they have the wings of Mercy and Farah in Lego that you can get pictures in front of.
We have
come
to
on.
Do that.
That's just kismet.
It,
right?
It really is.
Is there a Mercy name here?
It's destiny that we got the Checkpoint Radio Pharmacy team out here at BlizzCon. It's great, man. The energy is really, really great. And everybody seems really happy about stuff.
Well, that's awesome. Let's talk about some of these announcements that they made in the opening keynote, starting with a little bit of StarCraft 2.
Woo.
Yeah.
I mean, we got the co-op.
What's wrong, Joe? This is your game, man.
It is, but here's the thing. Like, I didn't expect any big announcements, and I got exactly what I expected. the new co-op Commander Zeratul.
Well, and when you looked at the schedule too, and saw that the what's next for StarCraft was buried in day two,
yeah,
like, behind everything else, yeah, I wouldn't have really expected anything out of StarCraft either, man.
Yeah. So we also got some interesting announcements for World of Warcraft as well. Robbie, as the World of Warcraft homer in the building, as the only one of us who has World of Warcraft installed on your work computer, what did you think of some of the announcements that we got today?
I'm super hyped for it. I mean, I've been hyped for the Tides of Vengeance, you know, since they announced a few months ago. You know, this whole idea that this is going to be the first raid where the opposing factions actually have different raid encounters, I think is going to be really, really huge and hopefully set a new precedent for the rest of the industry. Now, unfortunately, we had a little trouble getting in our registration this morning, which, you want to hear that nightmare story, you can tune into the podcast. But I didn't get to see the new cinematic that they released. I've been like jonesing to check it out really, really hard. But yeah, I already have Strife and some of the Link Shell people who have been messaging me, being like, "You're gonna do the Mythic Plus dungeon challenge with us? We need one more." I'm like, "Yeah, I guess I can."
You're listening to Checkpoint Esports and Gaming Radio. I want to thank everyone listening on Fox Sports 1360 WSAI in Cincinnati, Ohio, as well as Talk Radio 1360 KKBJ in Bemidji, Minnesota. We're catching up with Robbie and Norris, who are live out at BlizzCon. So speaking of cinematics, we've got to talk about Overwatch. McCree finally getting a movie, and we also got the announcement of our next hero.
Listen.
First of all,
no, Robbie, you shut up. You've been
called female. I called the female.
Robbie spent all this time talking about WoW and stuff nobody cares about. We talk about the game that really matters, which is Overwatch. Right? Okay, you may have called the female character, but I also call shotgun character, so we're both right.
No,
she has an offhand shotgun.
Okay,
shut up.
That's like her primary.
Either way it goes, the point is that the character looks awesome. We're going to get a chance to actually check her out up here in the media area.
You're like standing outside
standing outside waiting to get off the phone with y'all so we could go play this. But she looks great. The cinematic was absolutely awesome. It pretty much introduced almost all of the Deadlock game. Mm-hmm.
What was so great about that cinematic, too, is as we're watching it, is like any one of those people could have been.
Could have been characters.
Could have been the characters, yeah.
Which, I mean, but to me, looking at it, there was really only one answer.
It was either her or Athena, if that's who that was that came out of the pod.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the cinematic was absolutely amazing. The character looks great. I can't wait to get my hands on her and really try it out. I've been, you know, kind of ear hustling a little bit, you know, trying to get some opinions on what people feel about her. And there have been people who just straight out said, like, yeah, she's about to be one of my new mains.
Actually, we talked to a guy earlier who got to play her a little bit. I don't know if you heard of him, Neptuno. At Philadelphia Fusion. We talked to him a little bit. He got to check her out, and he's really digging her as well.
Yeah.
Oh, just kind of humble bragging right there. I see. I see. Pulling the old Nika out of your back pocket. I gotcha. Anyway, no, but let's just talk about her alt here, Ash's alt, for just a second. Bob comes in, and who Bob was my choice for wanting as the actual hero.
Yeah.
But I'll take him as an ultimate too, because that's a pretty badass ultimate.
So maybe is this the character that gets made to play Overwatch?
No. I gotta ask, what was the reaction like for the Diablo announcement? Like, there had to be a lot of palpable disappointment in the room.
If I could encapsulate it in a sound, it was more of a. That's pretty much it. It was confusion followed by like more Diablo, so that's cool, I guess.
But listen, we got to leave the discussion right there. Thanks for joining us for Checkpoint Daily, the first internationally syndicated show for esports and gaming for radio. Visit our website over at checkpointradio.com for insight on esports and gaming, as well as a full archive of episodes, podcasts, and interviews. Checkpoint Daily will be back on Monday for more esports and video game discussion. Join us Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. at twitch.tv/Checkpoint Radio. Our theme is provided by the band Weird At Last. Find more at weirdatlast.com. Checkpoint Daily is a production of Beasley Esports XP. Thanks to our executive producing team of Buzz Knight, Mike Thomas, and Rick Scott. Lead segment producing by Joe Sloan. Producing and booking help from Christine Corpus. And of course, my co-hosts who pulled double duties as producers for Checkpoint. Out at BlizzCon, Robbie Landis and Norris Howard. And here at the news desk, Joe Sloan. My name's Nate Bender. Keep listening.
You've been listening to Checkpoint Radio, a complete look at all things esports and gaming. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at checkpointradio.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.